Good morning. Today's daf in Arios is daf Beis. We begin today the last Maseches in Seder Nezikin. It's not really the last Masech in Seder Nezikin, but for our purposes it is. Meaning, it's the last Gemara that we're going to be doing. It's the last Masech that we're going to be doing. There are a couple of Maseches in Seder Nezikin that we haven't covered, and that we will not be covering in the daf Yomi cycle. One is Avos, which is just Mishnayos, and the other one is Adios, which also is just Mishnayos. Avos and Adios can be found in the back of the standard Vilna Shas. You're going to find Masechta Avos and Masechta Adios. They are two Masechtas that are without Gemara and therefore not covered in the Daf Yomi cycle. Horios has Gemara on it, and so therefore it's covered in the Daf Yomi cycle. As I mentioned already a number of times, just a curiosity of mine, when we get to the end of Seder Kachim, so we're going to be doing all the Masechtas in Seder Kachim. And those that do and do not have Gemara is attached to them. So why is it that here at the end of the Seder Nezikin we skip Avos and Adios? So as I pointed out yesterday, I'm going to repeat again, I don't know. I don't know what the plan was, but it doesn't matter. In other words, Daf Yomi is, you know, infinitely more good than it is, you know, than what it accomplished in the last 100 years is rather amazing. And so despite the fact that I have a couple of small questions, it's just it's rather amazing what Daf Yomi has accomplished. So in terms of Lima de Torah for Klal Yisrael. But anyway, okay, so we are starting today Masechta Horios. It is a short Masechta. It's three parakim long. We finish in 2 weeks in Daf Yomi terminology. There are more words, seemingly. There are more words in the Masechta, so I'm going to be going a little quicker than normal in terms of just being able to get through the words of the Daf. But basically, its subject matter is going to be the ruling of Beis Din, the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. Beis Din is fallible. Okay, it's a great overarching point that the Masechta doesn't necessarily make, but in other words, it's the obvious the underpinning of the entire Masechta is that Beis Din can make a mistake. They're human, they're fallible, and they can make a mistake. There is a question which I've heard being thrown around a bunch of times, which is that we, the Jewish people, have an obligation to listen to Beis Din, right or wrong. Meaning, right, Rashi brings down famously in Parsha Shoftim, even if they tell you that right is left and left and right is right, you have to listen to Beis Din. So it's a little bit strange where the Gemara over here is going to be working with an assumption that if we know that Beis Din is making a mistake, then we're not allowed to listen to them. In other words, only when we think they're telling us what's correct, so then we have to listen to them. So, okay, it's a heftier discussion. It's a heavier discussion in terms of when we're supposed to blindly be obedient versus when we're supposed to think for ourselves. That's obviously a big issue, I guess a more philosophical issue, a shkafic issue, which, you know, is not really going to be discussed in the daf, but something to keep in mind and something to discuss outside of the purview of getting through the daf. Our mission over here is predicated on us knowing a lot of information regarding karbanos, specifically karban chatos. So in the next 5 minutes, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to introduce the basic yesodos, just some of the basic information regarding various karbanos that are brought by both the tzibur and by individuals. If you look in Parshas Vayikra, so basically it's Perek Dal and Perek Hei. Perek Dal and Perek Hei are going to be a two parakim of focus for the duration of this Masechta. Truth of the matter is, and again, another just general point, is that this Masechta could just as well have been in Seder Kachim as opposed to Seder Nezikin. Meaning we're going to be learning about karbanos a lot. We're going to be talking about karbanos a lot. And so if it's a Masechta dedicated to karbanos, so therefore could be that the Masechta could have been just picked up and moved over to Seder Kachim. What's it doing over here in Seder Nezikin? So the answer is pretty obvious, though. In other words, it has to do with Haraz Beis Din. It has to do with the ruling of a Beis Din. The ruling of Beis Din. So we spent two Masechtas in this Seder, Sanhedrin and Makkos, talking about Beis Din and how Beis Din and the whole judicial system. So over here, if Beis Din makes a mistake, and what's the ramifications of that mistake? So that's Masechta Horios. So yes, you can make an argument that it belongs in Seder Kachim, but it has to do with Beis Din. That's why it's in Seder Nezikin. Okay. But with that stated, however, let's go through some very basic information. In Perek Dalet of Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, so in Perek Dalet, so the Torah talks about various sin offerings, a Karban Chatas. So Karban Chatas, generally speaking, we think of a Karban Chatas, we think of Perek Hei. I don't know if we think in terms of Parakim, but in other words, the Karban Chatas that we're typically used to speaking about is the individual who makes a mistake and violates one of the Yisurim in the Torah. So he has to bring his own individual Karban Chatas, and that is articulated in Perek Hei of Parshas Vayikra. But in Perek Dalet, in Parshas Yirmiyahu, we're also talking about a carbon chatos, but not a carbon chatos brought by the individual, but a carbon chatos that's brought by special people or special groups, who, if in fact they make a mistake, so they are going to bring a carbon chatos. Now, when I say make a mistake, I'm meaning violate one of the Isurim of the Torah. It's only for violating one of the more significant Isurim of the Torah, and that's the Isur in the Torah that has with it a carbon punishment if done intentionally. There are not that many of them in the Torah, meaning, as we've discussed already a number of times, there are 36 Isurik, there are 36 Chiyuve Karis in the Torah. 36 times in the Torah where, if one were to violate the Torah, one would receive a Karis penalty. Karis means to be spiritually cut off. I say that in obviously the most generic terms, but in other words, it's obviously a very serious offense. So for these 36 Averis in the Torah, so if one did them, Bishogi, if one did them in a state of unawareness, so then he has to bring a carbon chatas. Okay. And even when I say the number 36, by the way, again, let's just, you know, we make this point often, but, you know, can't overstate it. It's not really 36, it's really 34 and 2. Meaning of that listing of 36, which is in the Mishnah and Krisos, so of that 36, two of them are mitzvah sesi, two of them are positive commands. For the lack of fulfilling two of the mitzvahs in the Torah, so one is going to be subject to karis. One of them is bris milah, and the other one is karban pesach. Okay, and you know, the two of them really go together, right? We just read about it at the Seder two nights ago, and three nights ago. So there are 34 lavim in the Torah, 34 negative prohibitions in the Torah, where if a person unintentionally violated those 34 prohibitions in the Torah, so he would have to bring a karban chatas. But that's Perek Hei. We're back in Perek Dal, we're talking about special people or special groups who have to bring a karban chatas. The first one mentioned in Perek Dalin is for the Kohen Gadol. So the psukim go on to say, I'm starting the beginning of Perek Dal. Again, this is just hopefully a very quick introduction. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor, nefesh kisecha tabishkega mikol mitzvos Hashem, asher lo se'asena, va'asa me'achas me'ena. So if a person did any one of the averes, now again, as I already explained to you, we know based on Torah Shabbat Peh, that's not any one of the averes, it has to be something which is of in Isser Karis. And, Pasuk Gimel, Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechet HaLash Masam V'Yikriv HaChatasur Asher Chata Par Ben Bekar Tamim LaShem LeChatas. So if a Kohen, meaning Kohen HaMashiach, he's anointed, meaning he's a Kohen Gadol. So if he were to sin in any one of these sins, so he has to bring a special carbon, and that is a part. And the psukim then go on to detail and delineate exactly how that is brought, and all the specifics over there. I skip now to Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'im kol adas Yisrael yishku, v'nelam davar me'enei haka'al. Now what if the entire congregation were to make a mistake? And why are they making a mistake? The Pasuk goes on to say. This is Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'nelam davar, they were unaware, me'enei haka'al, because it comes from the enei haka'al, literally the eyes of the congregation. The eyes of the congregation, meaning Beis Din. Beis Din came out with a ruling. Take a look at Rashi over there on Chumash. I'm reading the Rashi inside. V'nelam davar, tau lahoros ba'achas mikol krisu shebetor shuhu mutar. So what happened was is that Beis Din came out with an erroneous ruling. They made a psak, and they were wrong. And they said, for example, and again, it's really hard to understand how they can make such a gross error, but again, it goes back to the central theme of the Masechta, which is people are fallible, Beis Din is fallible. So so they came out with a ruling, and they said, for example, that, right, Jewish people of our generation, chalev is mutar, you're allowed to eat chalev. Okay, that's what they ruled. So the forbidden fats of an animal, so they said that it's okay to eat it. And the congregation ate it, based on the ruling of Beis Din. So the Torah goes on to say, V'asu achas mikol mitzvos Hashem, asher lo se'asena v'ashema, v'noda chatas asher chatu alai, v'ikrivu haka'al, par ben bakar l'chatas, v'ivu oso lefnei ol moed. So now what's going to happen is that you're going to have a carbon being brought by Beis Din. Beis Din's going to bring a carbon. Meaning because even though, how many people actually violated the Torah? Multitudes, right? The entirety of the Jewish people, or as we're going to be discussing in our Masechta, the majority of the Jewish people, you don't need all of them. But in other words, you have all the Jewish people violating the Torah based on the ruling of Beis Din. So this is not a mistake made by the people, it's a mistake made by Beis Din. Beis Din was the one who issued the ruling. Therefore, the carbon that's going to be brought is going to be brought by Beis Din. So Beis Din is going to bring a par, right? Just like the Kohen Gadol is going to bring a par, Beis Din in such a circumstance is going to bring a par as well. Okay, and then the Torah goes and gives the details of how the carbon is brought. And again, now I'm going to skip a little bit. Pasuk Chav Beis. Asher Nasi Yecheta. And finally, in this fourth parak of Vayikra, we're now talking about the leader. Leader, generally speaking, is the king. Asher Nasi Yecheta v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem elokav asher lo se'asen b'shkaga v'ashem. So if the king were to violate the Torah, and he was guilty, ahodah alav chatasor asher chatabah v'heviz karbano si'ir izim, si'ir izim zachar tamim. So he's got to bring a male goat as somebody who sins, and then the Torah goes on to describe the details of that. V'im nefesh achas techete b'shkaga me'am ha'aretz basosa achas mi'mitzvos Hashem. And now I move over to Pasuk Chav Zayin as we round out the Perek Dalin. So now in the end of Perek Dalin, we're talking about the individual. By the way, earlier I made a mistake. I said it was Perek Hay. It's the end of Perek Dalin. So at the end of Perek Dalin, if an individual were to sin, right, me'am ha'aretz basosa achas mi'mitzvos Hashem ha'shalos ha'asen v'ashem ha'hoda alav chatasor asher chata ve'ivi karbano si'iras izim timima. So he brings a female goat for a chatas. Okay, and that is, or next paragraph, or you can bring a female sheep. Right, im keves yavi karbono lechatas, nekeva timima yibiyad. Yeah, in other words, if an individual sins, so they're going to either bring a female goat or a female sheep. Okay, that's the end of Perek Dalet. Again, goes back to what I said earlier. In other words, it has to be one of the negative prohibitions that has with it the Kari's penalty. In other words, only 34 Isurim in the Torah. Violating 34 Isurim in the Torah, but again, not intentionally, unintentionally. Having been unaware of the fact that it was Asur. Okay, so there we have in front of us now various Karbanos that are brought either by a Kohen Gadol or by the Bezdin, by the Sanhedrin, or by a Nasi, by a king, or by an individual. Okay, different carbon chatzuses that are brought, as we detailed, right, for the special groups, meaning for the Kohen Gadol, Sanhedrin, and for the king, it's going to be a male animal, and for the individual, it's going to be a female animal. Okay. Adkan, that takes us through the introduction. That's the basic information that we need to know going into the Masechta. Okay, and really, truth of the matter is, I haven't covered it all, meaning there's more to know. But for our purposes right now, that'll be just the basic amount. And my 5-minute introduction, I underestimated. Okay, wonderful. Okay, we're already in the 12th minute. But let's go. We are now starting the Mishnah over here. And the Mishnah is going to give us some basic guidelines in terms of when an individual is going to be exempt. Meaning that basically we're now talking about transfer of blame. If I don't have Beis Din telling me what to do, and I on my own make a mistake, that's my mistake. That's my mistake, and that's my carbon that I need to bring. If, however, Beis Din issues a ruling, and I then act based on the ruling of Beis Din, so that's not my mistake, that's Beis Din's mistake. And so therefore, as long as I'm working under the guise of, hey, Beis Din told me to do this, so it no longer becomes my mistake, and if it no longer becomes my mistake, I no longer am obligated to bring a carbon. That's the basic idea that's being communicated in the Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Hora Bezin lavor alachas mikol mitzvos amurus betorah. So if Bezin comes out with a ruling to violate any one of the mitzvos in the Torah, v'halacha yachid v'asa. Shogeg al pihem. And an individual now does it, shogeg al pihem, and he's making the mistake, but he's doing so because Bezin told him to do so. Bein sha'asu v'asa imahen. Now here it doesn't matter. Let's say Bezin actually also did it. So now the individual is looking at Bezin and saying, hey, not only did Basin rule that way, but they're doing what they said, what the ruling was. So I got to be in the clear. I got to be okay. Basin's doing it. So Bein sha'asu v'asa imahem. Bein sha'asu v'asa achareihem. Or let's say he does it after they do it. Bein sha'lo asu v'asa. Or let's say Basin didn't do it. Meaning, Basin issued the ruling, but then Basin didn't act based on their own ruling, whatever, they didn't have an opportunity, whatever the case was, but they ruled it. And you did it based on the ruling of Beis Din, under any of those circumstances, Pater. So under any of those circumstances, you are going to be exempt from bringing your own personal carbon chatos because that was not your fault. The blame doesn't go on you. Beis Din issued a ruling. And I'm obligated to listen to Beis Din. So under those circumstances, I don't bring an individual carbon. Mipnei she'tala be'Beis Din. Because all this could be reliance suspended on the ruling of Beis Din. Therefore, this is Beis Din's fault, not my fault. And therefore, I don't have to bring a carbon. However, Hora Bezin v'yada echan me'em shito, o tamid v'hu ro'y la hora. So, but let's say Bezin issued a ruling. And Let's say a person knows that Beis Din made a mistake. Now, how does he know that Beis Din made a mistake? So the Mishnah over here gives two examples. One, he's a member of Beis Din. He's a member of Beis Din, and he knows categorically that Beis Din just simply made a human error, and Beis Din was wrong. Or let's say he's a student, and even though he's not sitting on the bench, he's not a member of Beis Din, but Rai Lahara. But he could be tapped at any point in time, meaning he's somebody who is fit to be a part of Beis Din, and he knows, he just simply knows that Beis Din made a mistake. Under those circumstances, Vahalach Va'asa Alpien, and now he follows Beis Din's erroneous ruling, but he knows that Beis Din was wrong. Bein Sha'asu Va'asa Imahen, whether Beis Din did it and he just simply did it along together with them, Bein Sha'asu Va'asa Achareihen, or maybe he followed Beis Din, meaning Beis Din acted based on their own ruling and he followed them, or Bein Sha'lo Asu Va'asa, or whether in a case where Beis Din didn't act based on their own ruling, and he acted based on the ruling. Under all those circumstances, he's going to be chayv. He's going to have to bring his own personal carbon chatas. He can't blame Beis Din, even though Beis Din issued a ruling, but because he knows that Beis Din was wrong, so therefore this is not Beis Din's fault. He knew better, therefore it's his fault, therefore he has to bring a carbon chatas. And Zeklal, just give me one moment. And the Mishnah then just summarizes. If you can blame it on Beis Din, meaning if this is Beis Din's ruling and you complied with Beis Din simply because you didn't know better and you thought Beis Din was steering you in the right direction, which is generally the path they are steering you down, and so therefore you are being tola by Beis Din, so then you are pater, you're going to be exempt from being a karban. However, if you're tola ba'atzmo, I said the Mishnah out of order, but what I'm saying is correct. But if you're tola ba'atzmo, but in other words, if you know Beis Din was wrong, and nevertheless you listen to Beis Din, you're going to be chayv to bring a carbon chatos because you knew better and you knew that Beis Din was issuing an erroneous ruling. Danny, go ahead.
He knew they were wrong. Why didn't he speak up?
Maybe he did. Meaning, remember, Beis Din operates with a majority-minority construct. Right? It gets awkward, and I mentioned this in the beginning of the Mishnah, before doing the Mishnah, it gets awkward because, generally speaking, there should be a compliance to Beis Din, right or wrong. Meaning Beis Din steers the ship right or wrong. And, as I mentioned earlier, then Parsha Shoftim, it's brought down. Rashi brings it down, the Gemara brings it down. Right? Even if they tell you that right is left and left is right, you have to listen to Beis Din. And so, generally speaking, there should be a compliance with Beis Din. And at the same time, our mission over here is setting up a situation where a person knows that Beis Din's wrong and he shouldn't be listening to Beis Din. Okay, I mentioned, that's a larger issue, something which I'm not going to be tackling, but it's, obviously demands attention. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara begins, Amar Shmuel, Olamein Beis Din Chayavim Achir Yom Olam Mutar Matem. Okay, the first discussion that we're going to be having in the Gemara is, what is considered a ruling of Beis Din? Meaning, what is exactly the verbiage, the wording that Beis Din needs to use in order to indicate that this is an official ruling of Beis Din? So according to Shmuel, so Beis Din is not going to be chayv, meaning the blame does not shift from the individual to Beis Din until Beis Din says, mutarim atem, you are permitted. So in other words, the ruling has to be formal and has to be clear. You people are allowed to do this. Rav Dimi ben Arda, right now Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, from Naharda, okay, and he says, Ad sheyomru lahem mutarim atem lasos. Rav Dimi says, no, that's insufficient. Meaning, in order for blame to be shifted from the individual to Beis Din, it's not enough for Beis Din to just simply say mutarim atem, but rather, according to Rav Dimi, what the Beis Din has to say is mutarim atem lasos. One additional word has to be added. It must be included. And if it's not included, so then this is not a ruling of Beis Din. And that is that mutar matam lasos. You are allowed to act in this manner. Okay, and what's the difference, my time? Lafisha lo nigmar hara. Meaning what the Gemara says is that up until that point in time, that's not a psak. It's not a ruling. In other words, if they just simply say mutarim, so what that is a discussion, a dialogue, perhaps a debate. But in other words, when it's mutarim lasos, that's a hara, that's a ruling. Then and only then, according to Rav Dimi, is blame then transferred from the individual over to Beis Din. I'm quoting from the Tosfos of Rashi. Now, just in terms of the Rishonim on the Daf, I should have said this in the introduction, okay, but it's not too late. In other words, in terms of the Rishonim on the Daf, so you'll notice that here on the daf itself, so you have on both sides of the Gemara, right and left, so you have Rashi. Okay, so in other words, the layout of the Gemara here is a little bit different than it normally is presented. We normally have Rashi on the inside, Tosfos on the outside over here. Rashi's on the right and left-hand column. Is Rashi Rashi? It's always, you know, it's always a fair question to ask in these, you know, in these smaller masechtas, in these more, in the, you know, I'm not saying this from a social standpoint, but from the unpopular masechtas. I mean unpopular just simply, it's not the ones that are learned, you know, classically in the yeshivas. So is Rashi Rashi? Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, one of those unanswered questions, meaning it could be that this isn't Rashi stylistically. I'm not the person to tell you what Rashi style is, meaning, yeah, I've gone through a lot of Rashi, but I'm no expert on the matter. But some suggest that it's Rashi. Some suggest that stylistically it doesn't sound like Rashi. He's not as concise as Rashi. Okay. In other words, and if it's not Rashi, by the way, you understand it's one of his children or grandchildren. You know, one of his son-in-laws or grandsons that are probably writing this up. So it's if it's not Rashi, it's someone in the family. Okay. In terms of Tosfos, where's Tosfos printed? So you see a couple of Tosfos here on the daf. Meaning on the bottom you have a Tosfos, meaning, and again, it's not, it doesn't look like your standard Tosfos, where he has lengthy discussions of the Gemara. It's kind of like, you know, bite-sized pieces of Tosfos. And on the side of the Gemara, here on our daf, on the inside of the page, you have Tosfos of Rush. Another one of the Balei HaTosfos, one of the later Balei HaTosfos, who's also commenting on the Gemara as well. So we do have a standard Rishonim, it's just, you know, not laid out the way it's normally laid out. Okay, fine. The Tosfos HaRush over here points out, I'm just going to take a little snippet, I'm reading from the Tosfos HaRush, V'nirli lefarish, ki'hi dekani bebebebasra, beperik yesh nochlin. So Tosfos HaRush, if you want to find me, by the way, I'm in the Tosfos HaRush, I'm about two-thirds of the way down, it's the Tosfos HaRush, it's four words in the line, it's the third and fourth word is V'nirli. The Tosfos HaRush is just explaining why it's necessary to say the word lasos. V'nira li lafarish by hidik tani by baba basra by perkesh nochlin. Tan rabbanan ein lamedim halacha lo mi pi tamid, v'lo mi pi maisa, ad shiyomru halacha lamaisa. So the Gemara baba basra tells us that if you are going to be receiving a ruling, it's not a ruling until you hear the words halacha lamaisa. Because think about it. In other words, in the base medrash, there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of give and take, there's a lot of back and forth. So when someone expresses opinion, so is it just that he is giving an opinion, or is he offering a ruling? So it's not always clear. That's why you have to hear with clarity that this is halacha lemaisa. Shalva amar halacha lemaisa yelech v'yaseh. If you ask a question and he says, this is halacha lemaisa, so now you can do it. Okay, so that's the Gemara in Baba Basra. So there is, so Tosfos Rashi, same thing over here. Meaning when Beis Din is issuing a ruling, you have to know with absolute clarity that it's not just an opinion, but rather it's a ruling. How do I know it's a ruling? So he writes, so that's why according to Rav Dimi Minarda, it has to be the word, you have to hear the words, mutarim atem lasos. Back to the Gemara. My time l'fishlo enigma hara, amar Abaye. Af anami tanina. So Abaye says, you know what, I'm going to support Rav Dimi's position. Let's take a look at a couple of sources. Number one, we're going to talk about the Zaken Mamre. We're taking ourselves back to Sanhedrin, Peivav and Sanhedrin, where the Gemara discusses Zaken Mamre. Beis Din offered a ruling. Beis Din issued a ruling. There was a member of Beis Din who didn't agree, but he was a minority. So his position is not to be followed. He then goes back to his city, and he rules the way he thought should have been the correct ruling, even though he was part of the minority. Such an individual is called a Zaken Mamre. Under certain circumstances, Chayv Misa. Meaning that being such a rebellious individual, knowing that Beis Din issued a ruling and knowing that he was part of the minority, and still stubbornly holding his position of, I feel I'm right, and he goes back to a city and he tells everyone in the city, this is my opinion, so he's going to be now qualified as a Zaken Mamre. And the Mishnah over here is describing exactly how it looks like when he goes back to a city. If let's say he goes back to a city and he's teaching the members of his city his opinion, well, that's just teaching. And he's still not right. But in other words, that's just teaching. He's not a Zaken Mamre. Hore lasos chayev. However, if he issues a ruling, and here, look, listen to the language of the Mishnah, really carefully. Hore lasos. He's telling everyone, this is what to do, halach lamaisa. And again, he's now broadcasting what he thought was the correct pshat. So then under those circumstances, chayev. You see from that Mishnah that in order for it to be a ruling, you need the word lasos. Another source. Am Rabbi Abba af anamitanin arula, basically, and I'll say, let's say Basin told her you can get married. Meaning, we're talking about a woman whose husband went away. He did not come back. One witness comes back and reports he's dead. But it's only one witness. So, she has to go to a Basin, and Basin's going to offer a ruling in terms of whether or not she's allowed to remarry. Okay, this is the Aguna issue, right? Discussed last night right here in the shul. The really interesting discussion last night.
Yeah.
So the discussed right last night here in the shul. So this is the Aguna issue. So the so if she goes to Beis Din, Harula Beis Din lehinasei. So Beis Din told her, you can go and get married. So really the truth of the matter is that we just made the point. Meaning that it's Beis Din's obligation when offering a ruling to say, here's what you can do. Lehinasei, you can go get married. Now the Mishnah happens to pick up on an issue which is not really relevant to our discussion, but let's of course read on in the Mishnah. V'halcha v'kilkala chayev is bekarban. Let's say she has a quote unquote an adulterous relationship, meaning she's with another man, not in the context of marriage, and then her husband comes back. Now under those circumstances, she has to bring a karban chatas. Why? Shalohi tirula elalianase. Because the ruling of Basin was not that you can be with another man. The ruling of Basin is that you can marry another man. So if she marries another man, and then her husband comes back, so then she doesn't have to bring a karban chatas. But she didn't listen to Beis Din. She just simply was with another man, so under those circumstances she has to bring a karban chatas. The whole reason why we brought down this mission, Yevamos, is just simply, again, to show that in order for it to be a ruling, the ruling has to come down with the words, with the instructions of, here's what you can do, lasos. Or in this case, lehina se.
So if the Beis Din says it's okay to get married, and then she has a kid,
The Mishnah in Yevamos talks about it, and the Mishnah in Yevamos. I should remember. I should have a better memory of the Mishnah in Yevamos. It's at the end of, over there. It's the end of Masechta Yevamos. Okay, I feel bad. I don't remember so well. I think the answer is yes, but it's an important question. You know, I should remember it with more clarity. Amar Ravina afanami tanina. Ravina is going to. Let me give you another source that says Ravina. If Beis Din ruled to violate any one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, so the and again over here, Hora Beis Din Lavor, meaning again Beis Din gave very clear instruction. It's not that just simply they said something, but they ruled in a certain way. So Hora Beis Din Lavor Al Achas Mikol Mitzvos Amors B'Torah. The language is very clear. Is that the ruling has to come out with instruction, meaning this is what you're supposed to do, and sulamidi. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, after now bringing in these three sources, really there's no more discussion to have on the matter. Meaning, Rav Dimi's position is really the position that is most accepted because it really complies with all these Mishnahs that we just quoted. Shmuel's position is just, it's not as defensible. Igad Amri, now we're going to do this again, meaning we're basically going to have this discussion again, slightly different version. In the second version, we are just going to flip around Shmuel and Rav Dimi, meaning in terms of who said what, but after that the discussion is going to be relatively the same. I'm going to go through this quickly. Amr Shmuel, Ein Beis Din Chayev Man Shiyom Alayim Mutar Matam Lasos. So it's Shmuel here in the second version who says that in order for the ruling to be a ruling, Beis Din has to say the word Lasos. And Rav Dimi Min Ardamar, Filu Mutar Matam, Nigmara Hora. And Rav Dimi says, no, as long as Beis Din says Mutar Matam. Now, Amr Rabbi Vahalo Tanan, Hachi Chazal Ira Vishana Olim Mekidach Shilimit Pater, Hora Lasos Chayav. So, what about the Mishnah? Meaning, now in the second version, we're challenging Rav Dimi because Rav Dimi now is taking the place of Shmuel. So, in the second version, how can Rav Dimi just simply say Mutar Matem is enough? What about the Zakin Mamre, where he's only going to be Chayav when he says Hora Lasos? Amr Rabbi Abba Vahalo Tanan, what about another Mishnah? Hachi. What about the Mishnah that where the woman whose husband did not return, a witness reported that he died, she goes to Beis Din, Beis Din rules that you are allowed to marry, meaning it's only a ruling when Beis Din instructs her what to do. And then what about our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that it has to be where Beis Din rules la'avor, meaning they're instructing us what to do. In this case, they were wrong, but they were instructing us what to do. Sulamidi, the Gemara says, okay, and there's no more discussion to be had about it. Meaning that in the second version, so Rav Dimi's position is simply indefensible. And therefore we're going to go with Shmuel, which is the same as Rav Dimi of the first version. Okay, so, well, let's continue now. In the Gemara, we're on Beis Amud Aleph, we're halfway down the Amud, at the two dots, Halacha Yachid V'Asa Shogeg Alpiyem. V'Nisne V'Asa Alpiyem. Shogeg Lamali. The Gemara now is going to be very carefully examining the wording of the Mishnah, and in the Mishnah, the word Shogeg seems to be a superfluous word, meaning V'Asa Alpiyem. It could just simply be that Basin comes out with a ruling, and then we'd follow the ruling. Obviously, it's Bishogeg, meaning the person who's following the ruling of Basin is doing so because Basin said this is what you're supposed to do. So, Amar Rava Shogeg Lasu Ehor Basin Shechel of Mutar. So, let's say it like this. Maybe the Mishnah is describing the following scenario, where Basin made a ruling that Chelev is Mutar. Again, like I said already once before, it's really hard to imagine and understand how Basin can come out with such a gross error. But they did. Basin ruled that Chelev is Mutar, and then V'nitzchal of Lochev B'Shuman. Now this individual sat down and wasn't planning on eating Chelev, was planning on eating Shuman. Shuman is the permitted fat of an animal. And then Mischalif, and then it got switched around. Meaning, unbeknownst to him, it was no longer Shuman, but someone switched plates, and now it's Chalef. V'achla. And now he ate it. So now, it's a double Shogeg. On one hand, it's a Shogeg because Basin made the ruling that Chalef is Mutter. So if the plate was, if Chalef was put in front of him, probably would have ate it, because Basin said it was okay. Okay. There's also a second Shogeg because he didn't even know it was Chalef. He thought it was Shuman. And then someone switched the plate around and now it's Chalev. So it's a double Shogeg. So under those circumstances, is he going to be chayv to bring a carbon, yes or no? Well, it's interesting. Because on the second Shogeg, where the plates got switched, he'd bring a carbon chatos. Meaning that's a classic Shogeg. But on the other hand, even if the plates get switched, but Basin said the Chalev was okay, and there the blame gets shifted from him to Basin. So basically, which Shogeg are we focusing on? So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that's what the Mishnah is bringing in. That's what the Mishnah is introducing. That even though it's this double Shogeg, still he's going to be potter because based on issue of the ruling. Al Pihem, now what we're doing is we're also reading the next two words of the Mishnah, Al Pihem Mamish, meaning it has to be based on the wording of the Beis Din. Now, Ikid Amri. Now here we're going to do again a round two. In this round two, we're going to go in the opposite direction. Amar Rav Shogeg Al Pihem Hu Dapater. Aval Nischayav Lo Chelev V'Shuman V'Achlu Chayav. Now here, Rav is going to be examining the very same words of the Mishnah, but here's the difference in version number two. In version number two, Rav understands this expression of the Mishnah not to be two statements, but one statement. Meaning, Shogeg Al Pihem. The way to read the Mishnah is that he's Shogeg, but what's the Shogeg? Al Pihem. The Shogeg is and only is when he's following Beis Din. Now, Beis Din came out with an incorrect ruling. That, and only in that case, is now a case where he's going to be exempt from bringing a carbon chatos. But, if there's another Shogeg on top of that, notably, where he thought it was Shuman and then someone switched it around for Chelev, since there's another Shogeg, he would have to bring a carbon chatos. Even though Beis Din ruled that even Chelev is okay. Because the only time that he's going to be exempt from bringing a carbon chatos is only when there's one Shogeg, and specifically when that one Shogeg is, Basin said this is what you're supposed to do, and he followed Basin's ruling. Now the Gemara points out. Now Rava was clear on this issue. Now it's funny. When Rava's clear on this issue, according to version number one in one direction, according to version number two in another direction, but whichever version you're going with, Rava had a clear position. However, Rami Bar Chama, he didn't know. So Rami Bar Chama asked the question, meaning what would be in this double Shogeg case where Beis Din issued a ruling and the place got switched between Chelev and Shuman. So Amar Rav Tashma Halach Yachid Vasa Shogeg Al Pihem Shogeg Al Pihem Lamali. Lav Asuri Hori Beis Din Shechelev Mutar Ben Ischal Lo Chelev Shuman Va'achlo Pater. Now Rav is the one suggesting, well, isn't this the right way to read the Mishnah? Where even though it's a double Shogeg, you're going to be potter. So Dima Shogeg Al Pihem Hu Dapater Avon Ischav Lo Chelev B'Shuman V'Achlo Chayev. And Rami Bar Chama deflects. Rami Bar Chama says no. Maybe the right way to read the Mishnah is Shogeg Al Pihem. Only when it's one Shogeg specifically that he's following the erroneous ruling of the Beis Din. Then and only then is he going to be Potter. So Rami Bar Chama basically turns to Rav and says, I don't know if you're reading the Mishnah right, meaning Rami Bar Chama simply doesn't know. Iga da Amre, or basically we're just going to make the same point, but just from the other side. Or maybe the Gemara just simply addresses the same exact question, how to correctly read the Mishnah. Is it shogeg al piyam specifically, where it's only one shogeg? Or maybe no. Maybe it's shogeg or al piyam, meaning maybe the Mishnah should be broken up into two phrases, and so therefore even in the case of double shogeg, still, the person's going to be putter for me and bring in carbon. And Bipulukta. And the Gemara points out that it's not just Rav and Rami Bar Chama having this debate, but earlier on Marayim are also having this debate as well. Hara Basin Shechelev Mutter. So again, we start off with Basin coming out, issuing an erroneous ruling that Chelev is Mutter. And then there's Chalev Chelev B'Shuman, V'Achlo. And then a plate of Chelev and Shuman get mixed up. So again, you're planning on eating Shuman, and someone now switches it for Chelev, you didn't know. Rav Amar Putter, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayev. Do you have to bring a carbon chatas? So again, it's a double shogeg. One of the shogegs is based on issued a ruling, but the other shogeg, you didn't even know you were eating chalev. You thought you were eating shuman. So, according to Rav, you'd be exempt, and according to Rav Yochanan, you'd be chav to bring a carbon chatas. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa, prat lamumar. Who needs to bring a carbon chatas? Somebody who is not a mumar. Meaning, if somebody is somebody who rejects Torah, and he violates the Torah, he doesn't even need to bring a carbon chatas. Carbon chatas is only for somebody who, had he known better, wouldn't have done it. So a mumer doesn't bring a carbon chatas. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Hare Omer, Shalos Sassan, Bishkaga, Vashem. Oh, Hoda. Hashav mi yediyaso, maybe carbon, al shigigaso, lo shav mi yediyaso, and maybe carbon, al shigigaso. So, and Rabbi Shimon says, I don't need that drasha to get me to that point. Because I already know that if a person who gets tapped on the shoulder and says, hey, you know you're not allowed to do that, and the guy says, thank you very much, I know, now get lost, so such an individual does not bring a carbon chatas. Only somebody who shav miyidiyaso, somebody who, if he were informed that this is incorrect, and would say, oh, thank you very much, I didn't know that, obviously I'm going to stop doing it, such an individual brings a carbon chatas. But if he's eno shav miyidiyaso, so then he doesn't bring a carbon chatas. So basically, Rabbi Shimon is agreeing with the Tanakhama, just simply, it's a question of where it's generated from. However, here's where the Gemara now brings this in to our discussion. V'im Isa haloshav miyidiyasehu. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. The person sitting down for dinner. Dinner on the menu tonight is fat. Okay. I know it's not a healthy dinner. Okay, but that's not important right now. So so now he's going to be sitting down eating fat. Now, there are two factors now under consideration. One, Beis Din issued a ruling. Everyone got a text message. Chalev is mutter. Based, okay, coming from the certified account of Beis Din, right? Chalev is mutter. Okay, good. So in other words, I could eat chalev tonight, but you know what? I don't want to. I'm going to eat shuman. Okay. Then number two is that as he sits down and he eats shuman, so unknowingly to him, chalev was also prepared, and chalev was put in front of him. But he thought it was shuman. So now in this double shogeg scenario, let's say you tapped him on the shoulder, and you said, hey, that's not shuman, that's chalev. Well, he would look at you and say, that's fine, right? Picks up his phone, says, look, Basin said it's okay. Meaning Basin issued a ruling that said it was okay. So such an individual is not shav miyidiyaso. Meaning even if informed, hey, that's chalev, he'd be like, that's fine. So the Gemara says, so under such circumstances, he's not shav miyidiyasehu. And again, we said that the only person that needs to bring a carbon chatas is somebody who, when informed that this is not right, he'll simply stop and say, oh, thank you very much. Only such an individual needs to bring a carbon chatas. This person will not stop from doing so because Beis Din told them it was okay. Amar Papa Kasavar Rav Yochanan came to Chim Isyadu Lehu Lechabei Dina Hadri Behu Vihunami Hadar Bei Shav Miyidiyasehu Karina Bei Vechayim. So Rav Papa will tell you, well, this is how Rav Yochanan would answer you. And he would say like this. It is shav miyidiyaso. Because consider, if let's say Beis Din were informed, you guys made a mistake. Okay? And so they changed their position? Of course they would change their position. Meaning, they only said the chalev was mutter because they thought that was correct. It was a mistake. If someone corrected them, they would correct themselves. And so, that trickles down. So now when the individual then is learned about the correction, the individual would say, oh, based on a mistake, okay, fine. In other words, I'll now correct myself as well. So all this still falls under the category of Shav Miyidiyasa. Amarava. Moed Rav Sheina Mashal and Rav Tzibor. Now, what about getting us to Rav Tzibor? Meaning, in order for Basin to bring their special carbon, I know we really didn't articulate this point very clearly yet, but it'll become a central theme throughout this Masechta, and that is, when is Beis Din going to be obligated to bring their special carbon? Meaning the one that we talked about in the introduction. So that's only when the majority of the Jewish people follow the ruling of Beis Din. So now, let's say, and I know this is theoretical, but let's say you are at exactly the point of 50-50. 50% of the Jewish population are now following the ruling of Beis Din, and now, in order to get to the majority, you have this one individual who is eating chalev, but not intentionally. Meaning, he sat down for dinner, he thought he was eating shuman, and by accident, chalev was put in front of him. Is he going to now tip the scale so that now we can count him as 51%, the over 50% majority now necessary for Beis Din to bring the special carbon? And what Rava now wants to argue is that no, he won't, his vote doesn't count. Or in this case, his eating doesn't count. Why not? My time, I'm a krav, bishkaga. I should call him bishkaga achas. Meaning, in order for there to be a majority of the Jewish people following the ruling of Beis Din, obligating Beis Din now to bring their special karban, they all have to be under the same error. Meaning, the error of Beis Din's ruling. If there is any other error that's mixed in with it, their error doesn't count. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we're in the very bottom of Beis Amad Aleph. So the Gemara says, let's take a look at the Reisha of the Mishnah. Meaning, we're talking now where Beis Din issued a ruling, and an individual who didn't know any better is following the ruling of Beis Din. And the Mishnah basically is amping up the point. Meaning, let's say he's eating together with Beis Din. Oh, okay. In other words, not only am I following the ruling of Beis Din, but I'm watching Beis Din do exactly as they ruled. And I'm eating together with them. Or, let's say, the next point of the Mishnah, let's say this person who didn't know any better is doing so after Beis Din eats. Okay, but in other words, Beis Din was eating it. It's okay for me to do so. Or the Mishnah then makes the strongest point. Even if he never saw Beis Din actually do it, but if Beis Din issued a ruling, so then such an individual is going to be exempt. Good. So you see how the Mishnah worked. The Mishnah went from the smaller Chiddush to the biggest Chiddush. But now let's go to the other side of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah describes the student who knows better. He's in the know. And he knows that Beis Din made an incorrect ruling. And the Mishnah says, whether Beis Din followed it, or whether Beis Din followed it and then he followed it at a later point in time, or whether Beis Din didn't follow it at all. Here, we're talking about not his exemption, but we're talking about his liability. Because he knows better, so therefore he has to bring a carbon chatas. Now here in the Mishnah, which direction are we going? We're not saying over the bigger chiddush, we're saying a smaller chiddush. Meaning the bigger chiddush for him, we're talking about his liability, the bigger chiddush for him would be that he's going to be liable, even if Beis Din actually did it, he's still going to be liable. And so what the Gemara is bothered by just simply is the direction in which we're going. So the Gemara says, "Lam lemisne kol hani bishlam reish lo zuavzu katani ela seifa delechiyuva ibchami ba'ile." Really, should the Mishnah should be going in the reverse ordering? So zuve ain't zarch lomar zukatani. So the Gemara says, "Look, well, okay, you're right. Your point is very good. But as we turn now to the top of Beis Amud Beis, so basically what the Gemara answers is like this: in the seifa of the Mishnah, we're actually going stylistically in the opposite direction, meaning we're saying over the biggest chiddush, and then afterwards we're going to be saying over things which are obvious. Meaning, lo zu, zu, the ain't tzarich lomar zu. The second half of the Mishnah is just simply going from the biggest chiddush to things which are more obvious. And sometimes, in other words, right, the Mishnayos sometimes take us up and ramp up the chiddushim, and sometimes the Mishnah goes in the other direction. Okay, I don't have a good catalog in my head of Mishnayos to tell you, like, do we have a Mishnah where in the same Mishnah we are stylistically going in both directions? Here's one example. The first mission in Horius. Anyway, V'yada achamem shetavu tamid v'ayla hara. The mission over here describes, in the second half of the mission, the student who knows better. Either he was echen mehem shetavu, in other words, he was either a member of Beis Din, or talmid v'ayla hara. Or he was eligible to be a part of Beis Din, even though he's not sitting on the bench yet. Tarti lamali, the Gemara's question, why do I need both cases? Amar Rav Yitzchak sakadat chamin hani mila gamar v'savir, ava gamar v'lo savir lo. So the Gemara says, well, I would have thought, had we only had the first case of the Mishnah, we'd only be talking about someone who is gamar v'savir. Somebody who is both knowledgeable, meaning has both the book smart, and also savir. Rashi describes savir over here as being maven davar mitoch davar, meaning not only does he have smarts, but he has insight as well. He can not only say over a fact, but deduce another point from that as well. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Abai Lahara Gamer V'Savir Mashma." Well, the Gemara says no, because once he was saying that he is Roy Lahara, he's eligible. The only candidate that is eligible to sit in Beis Din is not someone who could just simply spit out information, but somebody who also has insight as well. So Amalei Ana Hachi Kamina Imei Avamina Hani Mila Gamer V'Savir. Avagamer v'lo saver lo, tanaroi lo hara, mi mishnei yaseira, afilo gamer v'lo saver, saver v'lo gamer. So he says, you misunderstood my point. That's exactly the point I'm making. Meaning that by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says the words, roi lo hara, he has to be somebody who is not only just book smart, just not only somebody who can spit out information, but also can give you insight as well. Roi lo hara v'chu, leke gon man. So the Gemara says, roi lo hara, give me an example of someone who's roi lo hara. So Amar Rava Kigon Shema Menazir V'Shema Menzoma. So the Gemara gives examples. Now these examples are like prototypes, meaning we're talking about the great Tanaim of Shema Menzoma, Shema Ben Azayin Shema Menzoma. Amar Le'abai Ki Agavna Mezidhu. So the Gemara says, what are you telling me? Meaning these people can ever be qualified as shogig? In other words, they know Kol HaTorah Kula. They are giants. What are you telling me? That we could ever qualify them as a shogeg. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and I know I just ran right through that Braisa. But the Braisa made the point that we've already made a number of times already. The reason why the Braisa here is significant is simply because the Braisa actually uses the examples of Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma as the examples of students. So you are so bothered. How could we use them as examples? When are they ever shogeg? The Braisa uses them as examples. Elahechi mishkach alakigon, diyad dadasar, v'katai ben mitzvah l'shmo divrei chachamim. So l'didinami d'tal ben mitzvah l'shmo divrei chachamim. So the Gemara says, look, what does that mean that they were toeh? What does that mean that they were made a mistake? Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma no kol haTorah kula. They are Torah giants. They're never going to be in a position where they hear something from Beis Din and they're like, oh, that sounds right. In other words, they always know better. What's their mistake? So the Gemara says beautifully. You know what their mistake is? Their mistake is that they thought they're the Beis Din. I know they're wrong. I'm supposed to listen to them, right? Mitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. The Beis Din says I have to do something, so I got to do it. So for the rest of us who are not eligible to be on the Beis Din, so for the rest of us, the blame gets shifted from us to them, meaning if they issue a ruling. But for the actual members of Beis Din, or people who are eligible to be on Beis Din, people like Shimon ben Zoma, Shimon ben Azai, so for them, shift never gets blamed. And even though there is this idea of mitzvah l'shmo l'divrei chachamim, and that's true, but that's not going to exempt them from having to bring the karban, for the karban chatas, when they know better and they know that Beis Din made a mistake.
So what should they do in the case of Beis Din?
Yeah. They're right.
To
the best of their ability, they should try to show Beis Din that Beis Din made a mistake. And for their own personal behavior and conduct, admittedly, by the way, it's an extraordinarily strange set of circumstances where they know that Beis Din made a mistake. On their own personal conduct, they should not be following the ruling of Beis Din because they know better. So for these special individuals, their personal conduct shouldn't change. Now, for the rest of us, meaning for us here in this room, right, myself included, so for us who don't know any better, meaning Beis Din offered a ruling, so we now are going to be exempt from bringing the Karban Chatos because we're following them. For these special people, their conduct should not change. And if they listen to Beis Din, so they're going to bring a car. They're not going to be exempt from bringing the Karban Chatos. They have to bring a Karban Chatos.
So they shouldn't act at all until they really confer with the Beis Din.
No, meaning they know better. Meaning we're talking about a unique group of people over here who know better. They just simply know better.
The minority of the
Beis Din. Right, right. They simply know that Beis Din came out with an incorrect ruling. Again, we're not talking about the masses. We're talking about these special people. Roi lahora, continuing now in the Gemara. Kigon mai. Amarava kigon. Did I just read that? I read all that. Sorry. Zaklau. Okay, sorry. Wrong station. Next station. Okay, Zaklau. Tolba atzmachai. Lasuye mai. Lasuye mevai bahora. So the Gemara says, what are we coming to include? We're coming to include somebody who's Mevai Bahara. Mevai Bahara literally kicks Beis Din. Meaning, somebody who is not normally respectful of what Beis Din's rulings are. So, Tola be Beis Din la suye, Hora Beis Din v'yadu shato, v'chazur behem. So the Gemara says, and when it says Tola be Beis Din, what is that coming to include? It's coming to include someone, I'm sorry, where Beis Din issued a ruling, and Yadu Shato, when they know that Beis Din made a mistake, V'chazur Bahem, and they were chosen and they recanted. So Haba Ejik Ketani La, so the Gemara says, yeah, but that's the next Mishnah. We haven't seen the Mishnah yet. We'll see the Mishnah soon enough. So the Gemara says, Tini V'ad Demefarsh. The Gemara says, you're right. Meaning that our Mishnah made an allusion to the upcoming Mishnah, but later in the Mishnah, we're going to see that clearly. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rav Yehuda. Okay, now, we'll start the point here today, and we'll continue this point tomorrow. Well, here's what we're learning together in our Mishnah. The shifting of blame. Meaning, if Beis Din comes out with a ruling, and we follow the ruling, and even an individual, right? I'll use myself as an example. Beis Din issued a ruling. Good, I heard Beis Din's ruling. I, myself, on my own, follow the ruling of Beis Din. Nobody else did, but I myself did. So it sounds like from our Mishnah, I'm going to be exempt from bringing a Karban Chatos. Meaning because my blame for my fault, so to say, for doing this is because Beis Din said it was okay. And they issued a formal ruling, like we discussed in the beginning of Daf. So, what we learned together in our Mishnah is under such circumstances, I don't need to bring a Karban Chatos. Now, is Beis Din going to be bringing their special Karban, their Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor? The answer is no. In other words, for them to bring their Par Helam Davar, you need the majority of the Jewish people to follow it. But what we're learning together in our Mishnah is, even me, the individual who follows Beis Din, so because I'm doing so under the ruling of Beis Din, so now I'm going to be exempt. That's what we learned together in our Mishnah. What we're going to now learn together in the Gemara is, that's Shitas Yachid. That is only the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim, on the other hand, disagree. And the Chachamim will tell us that the only time where the individual is going to be exempt from a Karban is only when the individual makes up the majority of the Jewish people. We'll explain that better in just a moment. So, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. The Amora, Rav Yehuda tells us, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Ava Chacham Amor, Mim Yachid Shasa Baraz Beis Din Chayav. But according to the Chachamim, an individual, if I myself were to follow the ruling of Beis Din, and even if some other people follow together with me, but we do not make up the majority of the Jewish people, we are not going to be exempt from bringing a Karban Chatos. We are going to need to bring a Karban Chatos. Gemara goes on to explain. My Rabbi Yehuda Ditanya, Im nefesh achas techet abishka gaba asosa, hare elu gimel mi'utim, ha'osa mi pi atzmo chayav, baraz Beis Din, pater. So without going into the details over here, there are three mi'utim. You can see Rashi over here. You can see the Gemara in Shabbos in terms of what exactly are the three miyutim. We're not going to go through them right now. But in other words, of one of the miyutim, if Beis Din offers a ruling and we follow the ruling of Beis Din, meaning even as individuals, we are going to be exempt from bringing a Karban Chatos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, it's interesting that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when putting together the Mishnah, puts together a Mishnah that is only representing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Chachamim, my Rabbanan Detanya, and here we start with the opinion of the Chachamim. That if the minority of the Jewish people sin, they're going to be chayav. She'ein beizim mevin al yedim par. Where because beizim is not going to be bringing their special carbon. Rov kal shechato yipaturim. Sharei beizim mevin al yedim par. But if the majority of the Jewish people follow the ruling of Beis Din, so they're going to be exempt because Beis Din now has to bring the par. Tamalomer mi ama aretz afilu ruba veafilu kula, even the majority, even all. Bemai. The Gemara says, now I know I read the Brisa, I pretty much explained the Brisa, but the Gemara wants more clarity. Ilema b'shigas maisa Beis Din shalom bahara. I'm sorry. Ilema b'shigas maisa. So if we're talking about where was the shogig in action, b'shigas ma'isa beis din, shalo b'ara beis din ma'avidatayu, shalo b'ara is beis din mi ma'isa shalo b'ara, meaning if beis din didn't offer a ruling, so then there's nothing to talk about. Ela b'ara means that beis din offered a ruling. V'ha kiksiv me'am ha'aretz b'shigas ma'isa hu dechsiv. Now when it says me'am ha'aretz, it means shigas ma'isa, meaning the shogig was on the ruling. Elav hachi kamer miut kal shechatu b'shigas ma'isa chayavin she'ein beizim mevin al yedem par behora ha'hein chayavin. So if the minority of the people follow the ruling of Beis Din, so because Beis Din is not going to be bringing under such circumstances a par, the individuals are not going to be exempt. Otherwise stated, the individuals, the minority, are have to bring a carbon chatas. Yachol rov tzibur shasa b'shigas ma'isa. You paterm shari based on mevin alayim par bara tamalomer me amar it's afilu rubo. However, if the majority of the Jewish people are following the ruling of Beis Din, so under such circumstances, the majority are going to be exempt from bringing their karbanos as a function of the fact that Beis Din themselves has to bring the par helm davar shel tzibur. Or let me say this in other terms, meaning according to the chachamim, basically, it's a substitution of one carbon for another carbon, meaning that if Beis Din offers an erroneous ruling, issues an erroneous ruling, under the circumstances where Beis Din has to bring their carbon, the par helm davar shel tzibur, then and only then is there going to be an exemption of the masses. If Beis Din does not have to bring the par helm davar shel tzibur, so under those circumstances, the individuals are not going to be exempt. Well, when is Beis Din going to have to bring the carbon? Only when the majority of the Jewish people are following their ruling. So, if the majority of the Jewish people are following the ruling, under those circumstances, Beis Din has to bring a par, which means that all the people who follow the ruling are going to be exempt. If, however, it's only a minority of the Jewish people, Beis Din doesn't bring their carbon, which means that those minorities are not exempt, otherwise stated, they do have to bring their individual carbon chatas. So basically, it's a carbon has to be brought. It's just going to be a question of whether it's the Beis Din or whether in the individuals. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, and the Rambam accepts that as the halacha psuka. Meaning, again, it just goes back to the fact that our Mishnah is not representing the accepted position, but only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, let's quickly recap. Tomorrow we'll start with Rav Papa. Let's quickly recap what we saw today. Today we talked about, we introduced ourselves to the idea that if Beis Din issues a ruling, sometimes blame can be shifted from the individual to Beis Din. If Beis Din offers a formal ruling, and as we learned in the Gemara, meaning it has to be, the ruling has to be, mutarim atem lasos, where Beis Din says that this is halach lamais and this is what you can do. The ruling that was issued by Beis Din is an erroneous one. The Mishnah tells us that even if Beis Din, you didn't see Beis Din do it, but Beis Din issued a ruling, under those circumstances, you are going to be exempt from bringing your own individual carbon chatas. In other words, the blame gets shifted over to Beis Din. However, the second half of the Mishnah taught us that for unique individuals who are either currently sitting on the bench or eligible to be tapped as a member of the bench, for those individuals who know that Beis Din offered an incorrect ruling, so for them, they are not allowed to change their conduct and they can't shift the blame from themselves onto Beis Din. Our topics of discussion today in the Gemara included what exactly is considered a ruling by Beis Din. What's the verbiage that has to be used by Beis Din in order to issue a ruling? What if it's a double shogeg? Meaning, what if not only Beis Din issued a ruling, but on top of that, the facts get switched around? You thought it was Shuman, but rather it was Chelev. Gemara discussed that extensively. The Mishnah starts off by giving us incremental chidushim. Second half of the Mishnah goes in the other direction. So stylistically, the Mishnah is a little bit off tilt. We talked about who are we talking about, this unique group of people who are candidates to be sitting on the Beis Din. The examples that we gave were Shimon ben Zalman and Shimon ben Azai. Gemara was a little bit confused because those are people who are never in the state of Shogeg. But the Gemara says, you know what the Shogeg is for them? They thought that despite the fact that they know Beis Din was wrong, mitzvah l'shmol l'divrei chachamim. And then finally, the last topic that we covered today was the topic of when exactly are the individuals going to be exempt from bringing their karban. According to our Mishnah, any individual who follows the ruling of Beis Din, even if they're one individual, even if they're the minority of the Jewish people, I should say it the other way around, if the minority of the Jewish people, or even if they're just one individual, if Beis Din issued a ruling, they're going to be exempt from bringing karban chatas. What the Gemara taught us is that that is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that the only time that there's an exemption of an individual or a group of people from bringing bringing a karban chatas, their own personal karban chatas, is only when the majority of the Jewish people are following the ruling of Beis Din, or under those circumstances, Beis Din has to bring the par helmed of a shel tzibor. But if you have a minority, and certainly an individual who are following the ruling of Beis Din, they're not going to be exempt from bringing the karban chatas. Under those circumstances, the Beis Din is not bringing the par helmed of a shel tzibor.